Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive tonight? Everyone came to participate. Everyone came to receive their help. Hallelujah. We have a special treat tonight. Pastor Jeff is going to minister to us the word. Hallelujah. It's been such a blessing to know Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee. Now they have two of their own churches. Hallelujah. So let's honor him as we welcome him to the pulpit tonight. Come on up, Pastor.
Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I get my device figured out here. Newfangled Bibles. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mind if I pray real quick? Before I always like to pray before I get into preaching. So, Father, we just thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for everything that you have for us. God, we know that, I know that you gave me a message specifically for tonight, Lord, and I'm excited for it. So, Father, I thank you that you helped me to deliver that message just as you have delivered it to me. And, Father, I thank you tonight that people get help. I thank you, Lord, that people get everything that they need. And, Lord, if we need correction tonight, we get corrected. If we need direction, we get directed. If we need edification, we get edified. And if we need exhortation, we get exhorted. Lord, everything said and done here tonight to bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Praise God. If you don't know me, most of you probably should, but if you don't, I'm Pastor Jeff Michener. I pastor in Mayville and Corey Family Churches. Praise the Lord. And I have a traveling ministry. Praise the Lord. I've traveled all the way from Mayville just to be here with you tonight. You know, I traveled by plane, by boat, by car. I even came by a horse and buggy, I think. I came by some cows. So we came here, praise the Lord, all the way from Mayville just for you. God's got good things for us tonight. You know, as I was seeking the Lord, Pastor Tim had asked me to minister here, and I of course said yes, and I wanted to come because it's always exciting to be able to be able to sit or to stand in his pulpit, praise the Lord. But as I was, I had a message all prepared, actually several weeks ago, and then this Sunday night, Saturday night, I was waking roughly about 3 in the morning, and so I started praying, and I got up and pray, because that's what spiritual people do when they wake up. A lot of times I just fall back asleep, but I decided to pray, and aren't you glad that I did? Because as I woke up in the morning, as soon as I woke up the next morning, I eventually went back to sleep, but as soon as I woke up the next morning, this message dropped in me, and so I knew exactly what it was for. I don't know how I know, but it's amazing how the Lord works when he delivers a message, at least to me. He'll drop a message in me, and I know what service it's for. I know what group of people it's for. A lot of times I'll get a message even sometimes months in advance, and I'll know that it's not for my people. And then Pastor Tim will ask me to minister. So this is for here tonight, and I'm excited for it. Praise God. Some of these things, you know, we always try to be led on what we minister on, or we always want to be led. And so you don't always get to minister the things you necessarily want to, but you minister what the Lord has for you. But tonight's message is something more in depth I wanted to minister for a long time. And it's sometimes the message I'm preaching on tonight, sometimes this type of message is hard to preach in your own church because it seems self-serving. Amen. And so tonight I'm gonna minister it here, and I know I have some of my people here. So yeah, if you're my people and you come here to see it tonight, praise God. This does apply to you, but you understand this is a message I am delivering it for the people here. So I'm saying that because I don't want you to think that I called you all here just to get this over to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know I love this introduction. You know, we're gonna spend about an hour on the introduction, and then we'll get into the message. But you know, the devil also tried to rob this message. And that's something that, of course, we don't let him do. Amen. As he tries to steal, all the things that God has for us. And he works oftentimes on the pastors in order to do it, you know, with different thoughts and stuff like that. And again, that's another reason why a lot of, you know, ministers might not necessarily go down this road for their own church. But the knowledge of the things that I'm teaching tonight or I'm talking about tonight, I can trace every single blessing in my life that I live in today. I can trace all that blessing back to this same understanding. And so if you'll get hold of what I'm saying tonight, I promise you, you're going to be blessed. But I can trace all my blessings back to this, you know. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the Jeff Michener Charity Fund. Praise the Lord. I can trace all future blessings to the same moment in time. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, that's a joke, actually. My message tonight is serving God by serving your man of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And or woman of God, depending on what you have. Praise the Lord. If you have both, like my people do, they're blessed. Pastor Tim's people. You know, I want to thank Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie because they endured. Praise the Lord. They endured with me for years and years and years, and they poured a lot into us over the years. And they put up with a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's interesting, as I've been a pastor, I've sent more messages to my pastor often of the nature of, like, I'm so sorry. You know, you're such a good pastor. Thank you so much for everything you did. Because now, especially now, I realize some of the things that he said over the years, or maybe even some of the things he didn't say. You know, pastoring is a joy. It's a wonderful thing. But we're given an interesting job, and that's we're given the vision of God. And when you're given the vision of God firsthand, it's really easy to get excited about it. Amen. It's real easy to jump in and say, "Hey, yeah, let's go full bore at it." But then you got to stand before a group of people that might not have the same vision as you. You know, and a lot of times you got to talk about things. You got to talk about things like submission. You got to talk about things like serving and honoring, all these things that on the surface, you know, the devil has exploited it in some places to make ministers do wrong things with either money or their church or whatever. You know, we don't focus on that stuff. But, you know, that a lot of that thought is in the back of people's minds. I know it was in mine when I first started coming to Family Church. You know, I had a lot of walls up. In fact, I often say this, that if I had known what kind of church this was when I came, I wouldn't have come back. It took me a while to get that, but that's because I had been, you know, I had experienced some of the stuff out there that isn't good. But the office of a pastor means a lot to me, and not just because I stand in the office, but because I have a pastor. And like I said, that, you know, looking back on my life and realizing what has been connected to that, and of course, God, the Bible tells us that the office is a gift. And so understanding that it's a gift, and it's a gift from God. God doesn't give haphazard gifts. He doesn't give bad gifts. He only gives gifts that are good for us. Amen. And I love this example. When I got to travel with Pastor Tim down to Brazil, there's this guy down there. I still don't remember his name. We're friends with him on Facebook. I think his name is Roberto or something like that. But he's got a long name, long Brazilian name. Praise the Lord. And he didn't speak much English, but he did the same role at the time that I did. And that's he was basically his pastor's ninny. And if you don't know what that is, that's his pastor's do whatever. Praise the Lord. They're the ones that get abused a lot, right, Justin Thorpe? Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm talking about? You get abused a lot, and everybody looks down on you. But it's a very important role, amen. And I didn't say that as an insult towards him. I just know he knows what I mean, amen. Praise the Lord. And but anyways, this guy, he was just a very sweet man, and there was an extreme language barrier in that he didn't understand me and I didn't understand him at all. And so, but there was an understanding between us. And he wanted to introduce himself to me. It was very important that he introduced himself to me. And I think about this all the time because it really touched me. But he only knew a few words in English. And what he said to me when he came up to me, he says, "The way that you love your pastor," and he didn't say it this good, "but the way you love your pastor is the way I love my pastor." And that really meant something to me. That you know, because that's exactly, I understood that. You know, there's very few things that would take me away from my family. There's very few things that would make me want to give up time with my children or with my precious wife. But you know, the serving my pastor has been the only thing, pretty much, is doing the work of the Lord. But not most importantly, but very important, serving my man of God. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we need to treasure these gifts. We need to, you know, whenever we're given something precious, we need to treasure these things. Praise the Lord. It's a little different tonight. Usually I'm up here hooting and hollering, but, you know, sometimes it goes, maybe I will. We'll see. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But, you know, I say all that because it's very important. One of the things that is one of the many things that's so under attack in the body of Christ is the office of pastor. A lot of people just kind of throw it aside. They don't realize the importance of it. my pastor, the gift that the Lord placed in my life. Now, it's not Tim Stallman as Tim Stallman, but it's Pastor Tim Stallman. You know, that gift that he placed in my life is very precious to me, and it saved my life. Amen. I have my family because of my pastor. I have my churches because of my pastor. I have everything, every blessing that I have. And I think we'll see this tonight. But we're going to start 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. I read the New King James Version. I always say this because I like to be able to understand the word I'm reading. Praise the Lord. Now, I know that's not a slight if you like the King James Version. I'm just not that smart. So they got to dumb it down a little bit. They got to take out the these and thous and make it a little bit more English for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. You know, the Bible urges us, it was urging the Thessalonians here to recognize those who labor among them and who admonish you, but to esteem them very highly in love. See, that's the part that's really important, is that we have to understand, again, back to where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you love, you don't just casually look at it. You know, I've often said this, you know, even I get to spend a lot of time around my pastor. I haven't so much recently because of his busy schedules we both have and stuff, but I've gotten to spend a lot of time around him. And so there's a lot of opportunity to get to know him on a more personal level. I mean, I've done everything from wash my pastor's underwear. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I was thinking, well, should I even say that? But it's the truth. I mean, these are things that I've done when I've traveled with him and stuff like that. And not because he's been forceful. He's been like, here, I want you to wash my skivvies. You know, he's going to be like, here, ninny. No, it's not like that at all. But, you know, I'm always looking for opportunity to do whatever I can for him. Because I care for him, I care about that position in my life. You know, and the Bible says to esteem them high, very highly in love for the work's sake. But then I love how this verse ends. It says, "Be at peace among yourselves." You know, there's a certain peace that comes in doing the work of the Lord. There's a certain peace that comes with doing what God has told us to do and directed us to do and what he has for us. And as we follow those plans, you know, we see, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself in too far into the message right up front, but we see what God's plans and purposes were in it the whole time. Amen. Praise the Lord. God said in 1 Samuel 2:30, "For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." A lot of people don't realize that honoring God is honoring the things of God. Honoring God is honoring the things that he deems important. And I say this so often to my church, and I've said it here before as well, but, you know, God doesn't just put filler in the Bible. He doesn't make things up just because it sounds good or just because it was poetic or something like that. God filled the Bible full of direction. Every word is good for us. Every word teaches us. Every word is something that we can hang on to. In fact, every word is something we have to hang on to, because if we don't hang on to the word, we don't have anything. If we don't have, that's the primary direction of God. You know, I love people who get real spiritual and they don't need the word anymore, and they just want to do the things that they're led to in the spirit. But the problem with that is, if you know the word well, the Bible says to test the spirits, and if you know the word well, then you won't be deceived by spirits that come trying to deceive you. Amen. And that's why so many people get off, is because they drop the word, they just cast it aside. You know, we're talking, and still this applies, the honor applies to the word as much as anything, praise God. But God has also given us other gifts as well, and they're the ministry offices. You know, a lot of people, I think about this often. You know, we don't get to sit every Sunday in my pastor's services anymore. And there was a certain sadness about that in our hearts when we had to step out, because we realized that it was going to be different in those things, you know. And that's why you still see me most Wednesdays, praise the Lord, because I do everything I can, regardless of what is going on in life. I do everything I can to be in my pastor's services, amen, because I honor that. I respect that. I place a certain importance on that. You know, to honor, that word honor in the Bible, in 1 Samuel there, really, it means to make weighty and to place a great importance on. You know, and we're not talking about man worship. We're talking about honoring the gift of God. We're talking about honoring what God has given us. You know, and we see this with all things in the Word. As we honor the things that God has given us, then it's amazing how much better everything works out. It's amazing how much better things flow. Amen. And I'm talking, I recently got caught up in some, I started seeing some things in some ministries that I didn't think were exactly right. And I had to check about some things in my spirit. You know, sometimes, though, there's a fine line between having to check about something and just heeding that and then getting off into judgment about something. And I found myself, I started getting into judgment about certain ministries, about some things. And the reason I bring this up is because I was going through a period of time where things were really, really heavy on me. As I was constantly talking about this, and I wasn't talking about it with a lot of people, but I was talking about it with some people over and over and over and over again. And so as I would do this, and listen, it's not a matter of whether things are right or wrong. You know, I've been meditating even today on the great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And when you look at that, man, it doesn't give a lot of opportunity to really be name calling or anything else in it, you know. But I realized I came to the realization that I was very off in that area. And you know something, I went before the Lord and I repented for it. And when I did, you know, the Bible tells us to repent so times of refreshing may come. And that's exactly what happened. Is that time of refreshing came right afterwards. As soon as I repented, that thing lifted, and I realized that it's because I had been looking at some things not correctly. I hadn't been honoring what was important to God. See, because the thing is, you all know that you're not perfect, right? You all know that I'm not perfect. I know that's pretty shocking, a lot, you know, especially to the Mayville people. They see a lot of perfection in Mayville, and Corey sees, they're seeing it too. But we're not perfect, and so we all have our stuff. You know, family church, I love family church. Family church is my favorite. You know that. But family church isn't perfect. You know, the Baptists aren't perfect. We know that. The Methodists aren't perfect. The Catholics aren't perfect. You understand. But it's not so much that we be perfect, but that we do what the Lord has us to do. That's actually another message, but we're still talking about honoring God and the things. But I'm talking about a minister, you know, so it was really easy as my pastor. I think I'm going to share some stories here tonight. And I got a lot of scripture, so if I'm going to try to get to it all here because it's all important. But I wanted to share some examples, too. One of the things that was kind of a hallmark of my early years at Family Church was I was a very offended person. Pastor Tim and Pastor Mike had this joke that you could set a watch to my offense. About every 3 months, I would get off. I'd start getting offended about something. I would be getting mad about something. Somebody would say some Sister Bucketmouth would say something snarky to me, and I'd get all upset, and I'd get all bent out of shape because, you know, they were wrong. They were wrong. They shouldn't have said that to me, you know. I mean, this is the way it is. And so I get mad. I get bent out of shape about stuff, and I get mad at my pastor. I remember one time, one of the last times, I think, that it really hit me. I remember I was sitting about where Brother Pete is right here, and I was just sitting there glaring at Pastor Tim. He was preaching, so I can't even remember what he was preaching. It was, it was something about goodness of God or something like that, and I wasn't seeing it. You know, you know what I'm talking about. I wasn't seeing the fullness of the goodness of God. So the word, you know, so that stuff must not be true, or not fully true, you know. And so I'm sitting there glaring at him, and I remember even thinking in my heart, I was like, I'm going to sit here and glare at him. I mean, I even had the thought that I was going to glare. So I was sitting there again, and I remember he called me in the office, and Pastor Tim was, you know, there was times that I got whooped some, and I needed it. But there was a lot of times where he was just, you know, patient and gentle with me, praise the Lord. And he called me in, and I remember even, it was kind of on his face a little bit, and he was kind of like, all right, Pastor, or he said, all right, Jeff, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. Like, what is it this time, you know? And of course, I told him. And he had, what he said is every 3 months he had to talk me down off the ledge. But you know, sooner or later, you know, I say this a lot in my church too, but sooner or later, you get tired of being bit. You know, so sooner or later, you get tired of being bit by the same dog. You know what I mean? And so you start doing something about that dog, because that's the thing about offense. Offense, and I wouldn't even plan on talking about offense, but that's here. We're going to go with it. So I got tired of getting bit by offense every time. that I turned around. And so I decided to stop being so offended at my pastor and this teaching and the church, because after all, it was in Scripture. After all, it was what the Bible says, right? You know, and just because my idea of when and how things should come to pass weren't happening. My wife and I tithed for years, and we gave. I mean, we were tithers and givers, and we did this faithfully for years, and we were just like, and it was like, I remember measuring it by Christmases, because Christmas would come by, and we'd be like, how are we going to buy presents this year? And we weren't going extreme. We're just like, how are we going to do the least? How are we going to do the little bit? And we're like, where is this mess? Where is it coming to pass? But see, the thing is, the things with God come to pass over time. And God wants to prove our faithfulness. And one of those things he's trying to prove is our faithfulness to who he's connected us with. Amen? And the ministries that he's connected us with. So we see that honoring the Lord is honoring the things that God has for us. And honoring means to make it weighty, put it in high esteem. You lift it up. You know, I think about, I don't know if you ever had real fancy china when you were a kid or something. Your mom had some. And do we have dishes that we couldn't touch any other time? But no? Christmas, yeah. So you had some, you know, and you don't want to, you know, mom wouldn't want you to she wouldn't want to come out of her bedroom and find you cutting up Play-Doh on the fine china, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't do that. You put it up, you have a cabinet with glass, and you light it up, and you only eat on it once in a while. Even then you do it gingerly, amen? Well, see, the same thing is with the things of God. We got to put them on a pedestal. We got to stop being casual about, like, church. We got to stop being casual about a pastor, about the direction. Because I'm going to tell you something from the heart of a pastor. You know, one of the things is, and God makes it light and easy, praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there's things that come to try to rob your pastor every day. There's things that try to come every day. And it's not that, God gives us grace to get through it. But you understand that what the things that you face in life, your pastor's facing them, but he's facing them on a much more intense level. Of course, some of these things you only learn once you've been out to pastor. You know, there was days, I remember there was one day in particular, I'll just be honest with you, the pressure was on me, and it wasn't that I was sad or upset or anything like that, but it was so great on me. I was sitting on my couch and just tears were running down my face, because that's the way the pressure was. You know, it was whimpering and whining. I'm not saying that. I've done my share of that too. And if it was what it was, I'd tell you. But that's not what it was. But you know, the tears were just running down my face, and I had to preach it. It was going to preach in Corey. You know, because the devil don't want us in Corey. He doesn't want us in Jamestown. He doesn't want us in Mayville. Praise the Lord. He doesn't want us anywhere. Why? Because we're actually teaching something that's going to help people if they listen. Praise the Lord. So I was sitting there, and I was like, I pushed through it, and I went and preached, and I had an awesome service that night, and the power of God met me there. Praise God. But you know, the devil is trying to always attack that leadership role, and so we need to honor that, and that's why God honors it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're talking about serving our man of God, and we're going to talk about how that looks. So why don't you turn with me in Philippians 2:5? Praise the Lord. God is so good. He's so good. You know, the devil tries to rob messages all the time. He tries to keep you from saying what will help. But you know, here's the thing. I've realized this in my short 3.5 years as pastoring, that if somebody's going to be offended and leave, it doesn't matter what I preach. They're going to eventually get there anyways. So you got to go. Just go. You know, I mean, if that's the way it is, if you don't like what's being said, then, you know, you might as well go somewhere that's just gonna tickle your ears, because you're not going to have the power of God flowing anyway. You know, there's one way to get into the power of God, and that's honoring the things of the Lord. It's like placing a high importance on the things of God. You know, the things don't just come. You know, and churches have done such a disservice to the body of Christ by teaching them that you know, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, or if God wants it to happen, it just will. See, all that stuff just teaches people to not believe or not to do their part. Because God wants us to listen. If you press through long enough, you'll get to the other side. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You get to the other side because God, he's already said that it's going to happen. So we can see, and that's part of what we got to do with each other. We got to stir each other up in those things. You know, when you see a brother or sister that's down, instead of kicking them, you know, we got to push them on into the things of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind that was in him. Let that one be in you. So what was that? Well, aren't you glad they tell us? Amen? I love that each awesome verse, like, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, isn't a standalone verse. There's other verses around it that back it up. Amen? Well, glory. Hallelujah. So let this mind be in you, that which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Oh, that pastor talked about serving again. He talked about submitting again. Jesus did? That's exactly what Jesus did. So if Jesus did it, how would you be exempt? So instead of getting mad about it, why don't you just get into it? Because once you figure out that you get into it, you get the blessing. Whereas, see, that's the whole thing. That's why the devil robs it. Listen, if you have, God is never divisive. The Bible tells us that he hates divisiveness. So if there's a divisive thought that comes to you, if there's a thought that comes to you that is trying to take away or to rob or to try to stop the work of the Lord. Now listen, there will be things that are actually wrong. But by and large, the ministers that we keep fellowship with, they're not doing things that are actively wrong. They're not actively trying to be wrong. So if you don't, you got to ask yourself then, if you don't like what they're doing, then why would you stay around it? Why would you keep, you know what I mean? And that's kind of the thing I kept coming to, is I got to the point where I was finally like, you know, that's about the dog biting me. I got to the point where I was finally like, listen, I'm staying here regardless. Because every time I get to that point where I'm going to leave and go to another church, I remember, oh, bless the Lord. I remember one morning I was so fired up about this and that and the other thing. See, I can't even remember what the stuff was, but I remember being fired up. It was a Sunday morning, and I had my resignation papers all filled out, praise the Lord, you know, in my mind, praise God. I had them all filled out, and I was going to come in and tell Pastor Brad and Pastor Tim that week that I was all done ushering. That was way before this building was built. You know, I was all done ushering. I wasn't going to do that anymore. And I remember I was sitting there ironing and I was stewing in my, I even told my family, I made a family announcement. I told them, guys, we're going to church, but I can't usher in good faith anymore. But we're going to go to church anyways. But I can't usher in good faith anymore, so I'm going to give it up this week. And all of a sudden, my phone rang. I'm sitting there ironing my shirt, I think, or getting my clothes together or whatever. Back then, the ushers, we had the maroon shirt, the tie, and the khakis. You know, that's all we wore. And, I mean, that wasn't all we wore. Other things, too. Praise the Lord. I got my phone rings. And it was Reverend Randy. And Reverend Randy, he was one of those people that connected with me early on when I first started coming to the church. And he would be one of the people that would talk me down and help me out with things a lot. Praise the Lord for people who do stuff like that. So Reverend Randy calls me, and I can't even remember why he was calling. It was kind of like a spur-of-the-moment thing. And I thought he was calling me on purpose. You know, like to tell me something. And I was telling him about how mad I was or whatever. And he said, you know, he's like, if I were you, I would just iron my shirt a little bit nicer, my pants a little bit nicer, just go in there and serve, you know, just serve real good that day. And you know what? And I can't, there's some more that was said, but whatever it was that he said really stirred me in that direction and brought me off of that, you know. And I came and I did just that. I came in, I came fired up with a renewed fire. And, you know, a lot of these things, see, I learned probably 90% of what I needed to know pastoring, other than, you know, the spiritual aspect of it, but a lot of the other logistical things and stuff, I learned when I was ushering. And ushering set me up to be a pastor. And so the devil, that was an area the devil always tried to rob. I mean, I loved ushering, but, you know, I didn't always like serving the way I had to serve or whatever, you know. Or serving, you would see other people not serving or whatever. You know, just different things that you would notice. And you'd be like, well, I serve better than them or whatever. And they get more accolades, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, man. Praise God. I'll just say this, there was a lot of things said about me that wasn't very fun over the years. There was a lot of things said about me that didn't help over the years. But I'm going to tell you something, God had a purpose in it. And as I decided to stay faithful, see, and that's the thing, we don't have to be perfect, but staying faithful is a really, real big key, amen? Praise the Lord. So, but Jesus made himself of no reputation, take the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. See, so many people are worried about the season, they're worried about the trial, they're worried about what they're going through, they're worried about not getting to the other side, that they forget that God said you would go to the other side. See, the Bible said that when Jesus, he said, do the same thing Jesus did, because when you do the things that Jesus did, what did Jesus come here for? Well, he came to pay the price so we could get back with God, right? So that's a big thing that he did. But he also came to show us how to live. One of the things that, and so many people forget this aspect of Jesus being here, but the Bible says that if we follow him, we ought to walk just as he walked. So he showed us, he came to show us how to live. And the first thing that he did, he came to serve. He humbled himself, became a body, and God exalted him. But when God exalted him, oh, don't you know it was good? And see, it's the same thing. So we get so focused on the storm or the trial or the offense or whatever that we forget that God is going, he wants to exalt. His plan is to exalt you. His plan is to bring you up. His plan is to take you from where you couldn't and make you where you're able. His plan is to take you, if you're ugly, he wants to make you look good. I love that about the Lord. Praise God. I have much hope for my sons because of that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants to bring us up. Praise the Lord. He wants to bring us higher. But we have to get that so stirred in us. And we understand that. Because if we get that in us, then serving becomes a lot easier. Serving God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To walk this outright, it's going to force you to put something down. Sometimes to serve, you gotta lay stuff down. Sometimes to serve, I'm going to tell you, I remember one time my family, we're on our way to the beach. Hallelujah. Bright, nice, sunny day. We're on the way to the beach. Pastor Tim calls me up and he said, the church lawn ain't mowed. And I'm like, yeah, well, it was supposed to be, but it's not. And I'm like, all right, well, praise the Lord. What am I supposed to do? He's like, I'll go down there and mow it. And I said, no, Pastor, I'll take care of it. I'll go down and mow it. Because he was serious. He was a little fired up, too. Because the church lawn needs to look nice. Why? Because it matters. It matters as people drive by. It matters that the building looks nice. Most importantly, if it's something that blesses him, praise the Lord. You know how hard it's to minister if you come in and everything's all bent out of shape? Yeah. See, so I remember that. I remember times giving up those times, like, stuff like that, where you just have to do it. I remember serving when I remember Steph and I, when we'd serve when the Dufresnes first were coming here, and I was first on staff here and stuff. I remember being here to 2:00 in the morning and then being right back here in the morning, ushering all day, ushering all evening, praise the Lord, catching people. Oh, everybody loves that, but you don't realize those ushers are working out when they're laying people down, hallelujah. I remember one time, if you remember Brother Chris, I was ushering in Fredonia. Oh, this was a real good time of offense. I was ushering in Fredonia, and at the time, I saw one or two of the ushers in the seats. I'm a guest, hallelujah. And I was up there ushering. And by the third night, I could barely, that's not to say anything bad about their ushers. I learned almost everything I learned from Pastor Brad and Kirk Agino, praise the Lord. And Pastor Brad learned from Kirk Agino because he just excellent, you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is that I was taken on offense, which I didn't have to serve, praise the Lord. I didn't have to. I also didn't have to have the blessing of God either. But I remember doing that. I'm like, we rushing up here, praise the Lord. We rushing up after work and work all day, rush up there, and then they got to serve all night. And I remember by the third night, I was like the last person I caught. I was like, I couldn't do anymore. I literally, when they fell, I fell too, and I was all done. And fortunately, that was when the last wave hit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because I just couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't, But you know, there's things you get tired. You serving isn't always easy. Serving isn't always what you want it to be. Serving isn't always fun. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's great fun. I love when I get to serve. Praise the Lord. But there's sometimes when it's not great fun. There's a lot of times when it's trying on your flesh. I dare say there's a lot of times where it's trying on your flesh, but it's taking you somewhere. See, God is trying to get you somewhere. He wants to take you from being down here to being up there. God wants to do something in you, but it only comes by serving. And I mean serving your butt off, hallelujah. You got to serve, serve. Now listen, I understand that there's times where it's not convenient to serve. I understand that there's times when you got families and stuff like that. Me and my wife served the whole time we had family. Praise the Lord. But what my family learned was this. I don't know, the Holy Ghost is so good to us because he showed us this early on. But the Lord, he magnified the importance of serving our man of God. And see, when you serve in the church, you are serving the man of God. Doesn't matter if he talked to you about it or not. If you're serving in nursery or the ushers or anywhere, you're serving your man of God. It isn't hard. I'm telling you, it isn't hard. The alternative, I lived in the world. Living in the world is a lot harder than serving God. Amen. But you know, when you serve, my family got this idea, and husbands and wives, you really need to listen to this part especially. My wife never, she understood the importance of me serving and how it was connected to everything that we were to walk into, even without knowing it. She just knew it. She had the direction. My wife never gave me grief about serving. She never called me and said, "Wow, you've been at the church too much." She said, "You've been with Pastor too much. You think it's easy?" Well, I mean, the first time I traveled with Pastor to California, we were gone unexpectedly 13 days. Now, to somebody who likes their family, 13 days is forever. Because, you know, the other thing is that the devil always shows up too. You know, he wants to remind you that you're not with your family and that you're out here doing this. And sometimes you're doing menial tasks. Sometimes you're not doing anything that looks like anything. Amen? But the direction of God. We know that God has called us to be servants first. We know that he's called us to do that. So my wife never gave me grief about it. I'm going to tell you, it blessed us. Because when Pastor asked me to go to Brazil with him, my wife had sent me a text that morning, even before he had asked me, even before he knew it was going to happen. She sent me a text that morning, and it said, "Whatever he needs you to do, we're behind you." Basically, you know, I mean, it might not have said those exact words, but it would have said, maybe said, like, you know, "Don't worry about it. We're, you know." And my wife, you know, my wife is an amazing woman. I'm going to brag on her for a minute. You mind? Praise God. My wife is, I have not met a Christian woman as good as my wife yet. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this because my wife, whenever I had to serve Pastor Tim, she made the arrangements to take care of everything. Whether it was, you know, everything that I did, I never had to worry about anything. She would take care of that. I got it covered. She'd take care of the kids. She'd make sure that everything was in order. Praise the Lord. And she runs a household. That's what I love. When we're in MTC, you know, people don't realize, you know, and they're, you know, everybody, you know, there's people that did real well in there. But I'm going to brag on my wife. My wife not only was a faithful mother, praise the Lord, and a faithful wife, doing more than she should, but my wife also was pastoring a church. My wife was also covering for my when I was with pastor or whatever. Which if we have a rule in my household: if pastor calls on me, I go. Doesn't matter when I've left family functions. I've left. It doesn't matter if pastor calls on me. I go. That's our rule. Why? Because that's the heart of somebody who loves their pastor. Amen. Because you realize that there's more to it than that. And praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. So my wife, I mean, she did all that, and she went to school, and she worked full time. So she had kids, she worked full time. She's co-pastoring a church, praise the Lord. Starting a church was a whole other interesting thing, and doing all these things. This is how awesome she is, and she does it, and she still loves me. Praise the Lord. She still smiles at me when I come home. You know what I mean? She still likes to cuddle me. Hallelujah. It's great. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That, you know, my wife is just, and I tell people all the time, if you want to know how to be a good wife, praise the Lord, follow in her footsteps. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm not so easy to deal with. You know, I'm going to tell you, I got a little confession to make here. Praise the Lord. You know that song? You remember that song? I don't think it's real bad. I don't think it's bad at all. But you remember that song by Tom Jones, "She's a Lady"? Remember that song? I always tell her that's her song from me. Because it talks about how awesome this lady is, even though that he's kind of a moron. You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of where I'm at. And I love the one line in it, because he says, "She knows what I'm about. She can take what I dish out, and that's not easy." And that is my wife through and through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All the time she didn't tell on me, praise the Lord, when she could have. You know, one time in particular, I was going through a hard time, and it was one of my offense times, and I was about to leave and all this stuff, you know, and this one was really bad. This was the last one before I passed. This is like the real last one I went through, and my wife prayed for me, praise the Lord. And the Lord showed her what I was going through, and then she had compassion on me. She prayed me through that, praise God. But that's free, no charge, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You want to serve and be used, the first thing you need to lose is your own opinion. You know, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? It doesn't matter, because that's not the direction God gave us. You know, I've been with people before that have told me, well, maybe you should be doing this and that. And I said, well, the Lord told me this. Yeah, but this is what seems like would work. That's not what God said. And God ain't telling you what pastor needs to do. You know, that's one of the hardest things for people to get, but God ain't telling you what pastor needs to do. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things I love about when they sent me out to pastors, they told me that you don't, Pastor Tim was very, very clear, do not try to pastor like I do. Thank God, because I couldn't. I'm not that good. I couldn't do it like he does. I'm telling you right now, Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie and I talk often about how awesome Pastor Tim is. I couldn't do it like he does. I do it the way that God called me to do it, though. You know, I'm not taking anything away from my ministry or my church because my people, hey, you guys better just stay where you're at. Hallelujah. No, but seriously, like I'm not taking anything. I just realized that I can't do things the same way he does. Pastor, he didn't make me do things the way that he does. He made me follow God. He told me, he taught me how to follow the Lord and stuff. You know what I mean? But see, in this, praise God, hallelujah, this is where all the blessing in my life, I can trace it all back to this. And we're going to get there more in a minute. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:17. Love this scripture too. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Let them do so with joy and not grief. How do you do something? How do you let them do it without grief? By not giving them grief. See, that's one of the things. Like, people can stir up so much stuff sometimes. Praise the Lord. You know, but just people. We know. You're people. I'm people. I know. I stir up stuff too. Hey, listen, I'm not exempt from this now. Just because I'm a pastor now, I'm sure that I could still stir up things that my pastor could cause him grief. But I endeavor not to. Why? Because I know it's not profitable for me. If he's got, you know, when every time he's got to deal with something because two people can't get along, every time pastor has to deal with something because people won't act right, every single time he has to deal with that stuff, it's taking him away from the things that are more important. It's taking him away from things that are more, and here's the thing. If you know anything about Pastor Tim, it was Pastor Tim's character that caused me to follow him. You know, Pastor Tim has often said, he's like, you know, the hallmark of a good leader is when people follow you because they want to and not because they have to. And Pastor Tim, I watched his character. I watched how he was with his pastor. Pastor Tim, I mean, listen, one of the things I love, and he taught me this, I was going to say this before, but when I was talking about being around him a lot and just being in close proximity and stuff, but you know something? Pastor Tim taught me this, to never say anything, even as a joke, at the expense of your pastor. Never even say, I wouldn't even make a joke at the expense of my pastor. Why? Because I honor that. I understand that is above all. I mean, we joke around, we goof around, but I'm going to tell you, there's always a side of me. I try to do my best to be refreshing for him when I'm around him and to go in the flow that he wants to go, but I'm going to tell you right now that there's always a side of me, and he may not even know this, but there's always a side of me that always says, I'm not going there. There's always a side of me that says, I can't do that. I don't care how close I get with him. I don't care how much time we spend together. I don't want to ever get to that place where I look at him just casually. Because if I start looking at him as casually, then I start looking at the gift casually. Because people, they have a hard time. They have a hard time. People, for whatever reason, I mean, this is human nature. We have a hard time balancing that sometimes. But come on, you know it. When your spouse is probably the person you're supposed to treat best in life. But how easy is it to snap at your spouse? Praise the Lord. Even as pretty as my wife is, sometimes I get snarky. Amen? Even as nice she is, sometimes I get snarky. Why? Because of close proximity. But we have to be careful of those things. We have to honor those things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So you don't want to do things. You don't want them to do things with grief. You don't want them going, oh. You want, they do. And don't get me wrong. I mean, because there's another side of this too, and this just came to me, so I want to make sure I clear this up. Don't think that I'm preaching this because my church is doing everything wrong. I was just saying today, I got some of the greatest people in the world. I mean, I love when I think about the people that are in my church and the faces that I get to see every single week. I love them with all my heart. I mean, it's just amazing the love that God gives you for people. But, you know, it's a lot easier to serve them when you're when there's no grief involved in it. Amen. When they're not fighting against you. Praise the Lord. You know, here's the thing. You know, I'm going to tell you right now. People think that they're getting something over on you, but the Holy Ghost is good. You can't be snarky about your pastor and he don't know about it. You can't be thinking things wrong and don't think that he don't know about it. There's people, I've learned this as a pastor, there's people that I would want to promote faster, but I can't because I know that they're not 100% for me. I know that they're not 100%. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about select individual at times, but that's the truth. I mean, there's people that you can't, because how can you trust somebody? I mean, when you know that that somebody could turn on you at any minute, why would you put them in a place of any kind of authority or anything else? Praise the Lord. It isn't about doing, if you're called to ministry, praise the Lord for it. And I'll speak to you right now. If you're called to ministry, you have plenty of time when you step into that ministry to build that ministry how you want to build it. You have plenty of time to build it how you see fit. You have plenty of time to put all the things and do all the things. It's just like when you're a kid, amen? Remember you're a kid, like, I'm going to do it different than my mom did. I'm going to do it different than my dad did. Praise the Lord. But when you get there, you start thinking, well, maybe they weren't so dumb after all. And maybe they knew what they were talking about. But see, that's the truth, and that's the way it is. It's the same thing. But if you're not called to ministry, then what do you care? Just support the ministry. If you don't, you know what I mean? Just be there. Support it. Do what you know. And if you need to change something, change it in prayer. Man, I love all the scriptures that we see about changing things by complaining about them. I love all the scriptures we see about changing things by having it our way. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A church, we got to be different. We got to be a little bit different. We got to look at things differently. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give an example here. Now, we're going to turn to Matthew 20, starting in verse 20. I love this. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I love this here. We're going to talk about the sons of Zebedee. Praise the Lord. Who are also known as the sons of thunder, right? Praise the Lord. I love that. It just, when I got into that this week, I was like, praise God. Because, Jesus called them the sons of thunder, and part of the reason he called them the sons of thunder is because of the way they were. You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like that a little bit. You know, sometimes I get up there, and I'm a preacher, so I get up there and I start preaching, and when you get in the anointing, it's real easy to be bold, and it's real easy to say things that afterwards you go, dear Jesus, did I say that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And you do, and you will, praise God. But that I connected with that because you know what? I don't think he rebuked them for being sons of thunder. I mean, they were awesome. But if you read James, the book of James, there's boldness there. Hallelujah. You know, there's when you read about John, there's boldness there. You obviously Peter was bold. Amen. So we see these things. So there ain't nothing wrong with boldness if it's used right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I thought I'd share that with you. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him, Jesus, with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Boy, that's pretty bold. You know how many times, I'm going to tell you this early on in the ministry, but you know how many times, I remember when I first got it confirmed that I wasn't going to do anything with pastor. I didn't want anything to do with ministry. I was going to be a ninny forever. I loved ushering. Ushering was my favorite, still my favorite. I love ushers. I love the whole process of ushering. I still want to usher at times. But you know, that when the Lord directed us that we were going to pastor, it was really kind of as much of a surprise to us as it was all you, hallelujah. But so at any rate, you know, I always have the heart though is I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it looks like. I just want to do what it is. And I even, I say to a fault, it's actually probably why I get anything done because I have this tendency to just jump in before I think about it because when I know it's direction, I'm just going to do it. Well, that's good and it's bad. It's good because then I actually go do something. It's bad because when I get there, I'm like, why did I do this? How did I get into all this? See, it's real easy to sit there and say, well, the pastor, he's up there preaching, and look at all the glory he gets. He gets to stand up there in front of people, and people every once in a while, they put a five spot in his hand, praise the Lord, you know, and all these nice things. And they think all this glory, but they don't realize that there's stuff that comes with that. I thought this when I started the Quarry Church. I thought, you know what? I started Mayville. We did that. Hallelujah. We were successful. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go do it in Quarry. Amen. And that's exactly what we're doing. But it didn't look the same. Praise the Lord. It didn't look the same. And when I got there, I wonder why it didn't look the same. And then all of a sudden, Satan showed up. And he's like, you know, I don't like you being. He didn't say that, but you know, he showed me by his actions, you know. You don't have to say it. Praise the Lord. More than words. We're talking more than words here, man. We're going to get extreme. That's a little 80s joke in case you didn't get it. But praise the Lord. When you see things happening, you realize that there's opposition. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God directed, and so we moved. How to get off on that? What was I saying? You don't know. I don't know either. Praise the Lord. But, I know what it was right there. We are able. We can do this. Hallelujah. I can do this. You make me. Yeah, put me in the leadership role there. Put me in charge because I can do it. I see them fools do it. I can do it too. You know, and that's exactly the way people think. That's exactly the way I thought. So when I found out I was going to be a pastor, I was like, oh, at some point, he said. You know, he didn't say tomorrow. But I took it as tomorrow, praise the Lord. So I'm like, all right, the man of the hour. I can do this, Pastor. So I start doing all the things you got to do, you know, and I get all lined up. And I remember I have a mentoring appointment with Pastor Tim, and I'd be like, how about now? And he's like, nope, not now. I'm like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then, yeah, these are thoughts, you know. I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying that's a thought I had. And so, you know, another month would go by. I have another mentoring appointment. And I was like, hey, you know, I've been doing this, and this. And I talked to this person and that person. And I'm getting it set up. And he's like, yeah, that's awesome. I'm like, how about now? Nope, not now. Praise the Lord. This went on for like 2 years. 2 years this went on. This was after serving. I mean, you understand that this isn't just, it just opened up, I started serving, and then I was going to pastor in 2 years. No, I mean, I'd served for years and years and years. Plus, you know, I'm not 20 years old. When I started doing this, I knew that I had a little bit of life experience, so I knew I had some, and plus my life was, you know, I'm getting close to that middle age. I want to get into things, you know what I mean? I want to get going on it, because I don't want to be 80 and say I've been in ministry for 5 years. You know what I mean? I want to have some time under my belt. Amen. Praise the Lord. But see, God knows when we're able. And one thing I'll tell you about Pastor Tim, and this is something I learned about him. He may not always move quickly on something, but when he does, he knows it's of God. And you can bank on that. Hallelujah. That's what I love about Pastor Tim, because there was times, I remember when we were looking for buildings up there, because one of the hard things that came against us in Mayville was there wasn't a lot of options for buildings. And I had my mind of what I didn't want to do. You know what I mean? I didn't want to do this and I didn't want to do that. I ain't going to have church in a hotel. We ain't going to do all that. You know, we don't want to have church in a storefront. We got to have a building. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. You know, I'm believing God for a building because I got so much faith. And, you know, I remember this one. We looked at this building and, you know, Pastor Tan. And I took him to a couple buildings. And if I took him to a building, my thought was, this has got to be the one because I want to get doing this. You know what I mean? And he would say to me, he was like, are you sure this is? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, he didn't know what he's talking about. This is my church. This is my church I'm building, Pastor. Praise the Lord. We are well, we are able. Verse 23. But see, he knew something that I didn't. Praise God. So he said to them, and I'm going to tell you, I got to tell you this, because fast forward to like a lot of time later, and it was like, a couple years later, fast forward to those couple years later, and I get out there in the first week, I'm going, I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know, praise the Lord. Pastor Katie, I mean, she had to prophesy over me just to get me straight. She was like, I remember saying, she's like, and she said, it was good. It spoke right to my heart. She said, she's like, don't worry about not knowing everything right up front, because that'll come to you as the Lord will. And she's right. Pastor Tim was right. He told me the same thing, that when I got there, when I stood before my people, that the office would drop on me. And praise the Lord, it happens. It happens all the time. Glory to God. You know, I have a little mantle on my door of my office just to remind me that as I go out there, every single time I go out there, the Lord meets me. Doesn't matter. You know, even coming here tonight, I still have not got to the point where I come to a service and my gut isn't going, You know, because here's the thing. I don't like talking in front of people. I know it would be surprising, but I don't like talking in front of people. Naturally, back in the day, I was scared to death of it. And literally, I mean, I would go get into panic attacks and stuff, just the idea of talking in front of people. But, I still haven't got to the point where that, but the anointing always meets you. Hallelujah. And see, when you're in the plan of God, when you're doing what God has you to do, when you're doing the things that you got to do, then things will work out for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. You know how it is. They think they are. They're stepping up. You know, who do they think they are? Why do they get to do that? Why do they think that they could do that? Praise God. Hallelujah. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for the ransom for many." Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't come to serve or to be served, but to serve. Then what makes you think that you are? You know, this is such a hard, I remember when you're looking for help, you know, they say, what, 25% of the church does like 100% of the work or something like that. You know, that's the truth, and those things ought not be so. It shouldn't be hard to get people together to do things that, you know, it's like serving God. Like Jesus paid everything for you. Jesus gave you the ability to get not only into the graces of God, not he took you from being not even a servant, because we weren't even good enough to be servants, but then he took us, bypassed that, and made us children of God. And you're telling me that, you know, it's too hard on you, it's too tiring for you, it's too whatever. No, when it comes to serving God, we have to be ready, willing, and able to do whatever. Because I'm going to tell you what, you know, one thing about ministry is I learned, you know, I used to serve like, you know, six days a week probably at least, right? Before I was in ministry and you know, at least a good portion of the day. I served 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. My wife and I were on our anniversary trip down to New York City last year. I'm standing in Manhattan walking around talking to, I had four major meltdowns that weekend in my church. Things that I had to deal with. Had to. This is pastoring, praise the Lord. Had to deal with. I'm not talking about things that I could let staff deal with or that I could call someone else. No, these are of the magnitude that they need their pastor and they need him now. And see, that's what serving. So when you you know, you get mad because Pastor Tim takes Tuesday and he's sitting at home not doing anything. You know what I mean? That's what you have to understand, is that there's times like that. It doesn't ever stop. And besides all that, there's this other thing that's called your love for your church. You don't stop thinking about it. You don't stop considering it. I think about Mayville and Corey all the time, 24 hours a day. I dream about it. I wake up. I mean, I live it, breathe it. If we go on vacation, I want to get back. Praise the Lord. See, that's the way that it is. And so you understand that serving, if you think that it's tiring to serve now, especially if you think you're called to ministry, dear Jesus, I'm telling you right now, and I'm not trying to say, like, I'm not trying to make serving or pastoring look like it's bad or sad or anything, because God, again, gives you the grace and the ability. But you got to prove that first in faithfulness. And faithfulness doesn't say, well, I can't show up today because I just don't want to. Or because I got something better to do. Faithfulness shows up, continually shows up, because others haven't. Praise the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I remember being the first person here to open the church, and sometimes and the last person to close it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. I remember sitting for hours. Sometimes, not hours, but long periods of time. Yeah, sometimes for hours. And pastor was having a meeting with somebody because I didn't want him walking to his truck by himself. And he would always tell me, go home. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You understand, but see, this is where promotion comes from. It comes because when you spend time doing those things that are hard, those things where you give up time with your family, you know, and God repays it. You know, that's what I love, and even more so. I mean, I can't tell you. My family is so important to me. It's the most important thing in my world. There's nothing greater other than Jesus than my family. Praise the Lord. But they are so close in my estimation. That's where they're at. There was times where I had to give up very specific things. There was times because we had to give up things because we were given. We couldn't have all the toys that other people because we wanted to give to something or we wanted to do something. But you know, this is what God has called us to do, because He wants to increase us to a place where it can't be taken away. Amen? Praise the Lord. Pastor Nancy prophesied over me once, and this isn't meant, I hope it doesn't sound like this, but this isn't meant to be, oh, Pastor Jeff is awesome service, because that's not what it is either. But I am talking about serving pastor, because I'm building to something, and that's exactly what I'm right here, what I'm talking about. Pastor Nancy Dufresne prophesied over me once up in Canada. She called me out, and she laid hands on me. She said, because of the way that you serve your pastor, she said, you're going to, when he, because of your faithfulness too, she said, when he walks into things, you're going to walk into things. He said, when he walks into houses, you're going to, specifically, when he walks into houses, you'll walk into houses. When he gets cars, you'll get cars. She said, when he gets anointings, and this is the good stuff, hallelujah. See, you're after houses and cars. I'm after anointing, praise the Lord. But when he gets anointings, you'll get anointings. Just because you served him. Praise the Lord. Elisha got double because he was known for the one who washed Elijah's hands. I love that. Praise the Lord. Washing underwear don't sound so bad anymore, does it? Hallelujah. I mean, when you see, that's the thing, is that God is trying to promote us. He's trying to promote every single one of us. And it doesn't matter if you're called to ministry or you're not called to ministry. The ministry has nothing to do with it in the sense of, like, it has to be a calling or whatever. It's about what God wants to do in you. Amen. And it'll happen over time. Over time. Over time, it will happen. Why? Because God wants it to. Now, I don't want you to forget about James and John there for a minute, because I'm going to get back into this. But 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You understand there's a due time. So if you're serving and it doesn't seem like it's good, you got to do it. It's important to do it with a good heart. So do it. If you're complaining about it, you're just digging your own hole. You're just making it longer and pushing it off further. Stop complaining about it. Just keep doing it. I'm standing here. Again, I'm not trying to do this, show you, as to say, hey, Pastor Jeff is awesome, but to show you that it's real. Because God has done it in my life. He's brought it to pass in my life. This year was an amazing year for us. And I ain't going to talk about all the stuff, but I'm just going to say this, that there was a lot of things that I didn't even... I learned that because I can't focus on my own stuff as much anymore, because I just don't have the faith to do that. So my faith goes towards my churches. But I learned that the Bible is true, and it says if you seek first the kingdom of God, all those things will be added to you. There's things that I wanted that I didn't think I would get in 10 years, and they just show up. They just showed up. God just blessed it. But see, it's connected with my man of God. It's connected with first the teaching, the faithfulness to stay with him. Praise the Lord. And then it's prophesied, and then it comes to pass. See, that's the thing, is we do what we're called to do, is we honor those things, as we put highly those things, praise the Lord, or put them up high or whatever, you will reap if you don't lose heart. It's going to happen in due time. But you got to understand, there's a due time. Praise the Lord. There was times when we didn't ever think it would come. I know the feeling. There's times today where it still feels like it ain't ever going to come. Isn't there? There are times where it feels like it ain't ever going to come. I mean, I see, you know, when God directs you to start a church, at least me, I didn't expect to go down to Corey and stay in a hotel for the next 10 years. No, I want a building. But in order to have a building, you got to have people. You got to have people paying for it. You got to have people that are willing to upkeep it. You got to have people that are going to fill it. Amen? Because if you don't have people, there's no point in having a building. You know what I'm saying? So you got to believe for all these things. Sometimes it looks like, the building will never come. You go in the hotel because that's all you can afford or whatever at the moment. And that's what you're called to do. But see, God wants to see that faithfulness over time. And as you do, as you're faithful to fulfill those things, faithful to serve the way where you're supposed to serve, then those things just come. All those other things come. They happen. See, this is what I love about my kids. My daughter here, all she's learned is how to live in faith. We haven't raised her to not know what faith is. So she just expects it's going to come. She asked me one day, we were in the car taking her to school, and she said, "Dad," "are we rich?" And I said, "Well, it depends what you mean by rich. But, you know, the Bible says we're rich." I was like, "If you're asking if I got $1 million in the bank, no, I ain't got that. I don't think, do we? Not yet." The Jeff Michener Charity Fund that I talked about earlier, if you want to donate, just kidding. Praise the Lord. No, but you understand, but you know, we know that there's things coming. We know that we're fully supplied. We know that we have, so yeah, we're fully loaded. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But see, if you have that mindset, when it comes and the devil tries to come and tell you you don't have it, you know, you speak to it, look at it a little bit differently. You say, "I just don't know. You don't know who I am." Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We read that. So now I want to kind of fast forward. So we looked at Peter, or we looked at James and John. And you know, they wanted to be major in God's eyes, right? That's what we saw. And Jesus said that, you know, you have to humble yourselves, and those who want to be great have to be less, you know, all that stuff. But so there's some time between then and the garden where Jesus was, you know, just before he went to the cross, the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Praise the Lord. But there's something that happened in that period of time. And this is something that that I understand, but this is where the faithfulness, that's where the faithfulness happens. But you see here in Mark 14:32, I hope it ties together right here for you. Mark 14:32-33, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, praise the Lord, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." So he told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." I love verse 33. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. He said to all the others, he said, "Sit here," but he took the faithful with him in to pray. And see, that's the thing that matters. Like, a lot of people, they don't understand that, you know, when I've traveled a lot with Pastor Tim, the reason is because I was faithful to serve to the point where he could trust me to be able to take me with him. Amen. And that's an important thing to understand, is that you have to, if you want to walk these things out, if you got big things on your heart, great, have big things on your heart, but you have to understand, just like them, it starts with serving. It starts in that place of being like, I don't care, I'll do whatever it takes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, I'll do whatever it takes. You know what I mean? I'll stand there. I remember, oh, praise the Lord, how do we say this? I'm just going to say it, and I'll apologize later. Hallelujah, if I need to. Praise the Lord. We used to, when we ushered in the other building, we had, you know, the vestibule there. And it's like in the wintertime, it was like a wind tunnel. It was crazy, and it was cold. And we didn't wear all these nice suits then, you know. We were still poverty back then, poverty ushers back then. And we didn't wear nice suits. We wore just the shirts and the khakis and stuff. And you'd stand there at the door, and it'd be bitter cold. I mean, back in the day, you know, when the winters were bad. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? So the weather was bad, and there was this one person, bless their hearts, hallelujah, that didn't like to park their own car. And we'd just be an usher, we'd just be good to them. We wanted to do what we had to do. We would do it. Praise God. Well, the car, we'll just say, the person didn't have a real great understanding of hygiene, personal hygiene, at all. Like, at all. It was bad. And when you would get into the vehicle, it was bad. And so the ushers would have kind of a, "It's your turn," you know what I mean? You're going to park the car. Because, I mean, it was, and I'm not just being exact. I mean, I'm talking like, it was like there was a barnyard in the van. It was a barnyard van, hallelujah. And of course, you know, you get in there, and the first thing you're thinking is like, what's getting on me? You know what I mean? Like, I showered this morning and stuff, but what's getting on me now? Hallelujah. Because I don't think you're so strong enough for that. Hallelujah. But I remember doing that, you know, serving. How did I get on this story? But we get in the van and you park it. But see, that was the kind of stuff that you would have to do. It's not pretty. It's not glamorous, is what I'm saying. That's where I was getting at, is that it's not something that you think, well, this is worthy of preaching. Praise the Lord. This is worthy of, this is, you know, Pastor Michael always talked about the toilet bowl ministry. I remember the first time I heard that, and I remember coming into work the next day here. And I went in to use the bathroom, praise God. And I went in there and I'm like, my first thought was, do people know how to use bathrooms? You know what I mean? Because it was like a Thursday morning, so it was after Wednesday service, and I'm sure it's a lot better now. I'm sure people, but it was like, you know, it was like people, I don't know, it's like there's this big thing right there, like big, you know what I mean? And you should be able to get in there, most of it. But it's like, and then they have those wall things, you know, the wall things in the guy's bathroom. Ladies, you don't know what I'm talking about, but the wall things. And again, it's fairly large, and you stand pretty close to it when you got to use it. You know what I'm saying? So but for some reason, sometimes people go into those, and they're like, I don't want to use one of those. I want to use one of these, like I'm supposed to use one of those. But then what they do is maybe they're just afraid of touching stuff or whatever, but it like gets everywhere. You know, nobody wants to sit on that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I remember going in there and being like, what's wrong with people? Like, don't, and then all of a sudden it dropped in me because I was in the race to pastor, and Pastor Tim or Pastor Michael's toilet bowl cleaning ministry, you know? And it was like, and I distinctly heard in my spirit, go clean it. Like, there's gotta be a cleaning crew coming in here. So maybe I can hold it or something. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? But But no, the Lord said for me to clean it. Hallelujah. See, serving isn't always the most wonderful thing. Isn't the funnest of things, amen? But it does matter. It matters how you do it, praise the Lord. Because that determines the outcome on the other side. I've said this at least a dozen times since I've been pastoring. If I knew then what I know now, I would serve my pastor better. I would have served him much better when I had the opportunity time. I would have given him less grief. I would have given him less lip because I understand now that it matters. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy, we're getting close to the end here, I promise. 1 Timothy 3:8. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every once in a while, they slow me down a little bit. Hallelujah. It's still warm up here, though. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise, deacons. Okay, I looked up this word deacon because we don't know what deacon is, right? Probably from an obsolete diaco, I think is how you pronounce it. It means to run errands, an attendant, i.e. a waiter at a table or in other menial duties, especially a Christian teacher and a pastor, technically a deacon or a deaconess. So you understand that it's interesting how these are tied together. Amen? Menial duties, the things that don't matter. See, it matters what you won't do. It does. It matters what you won't do. If you say, well, I'm too tired for that, well, praise the Lord. I remember catching people, and I couldn't barely tie my own shoes because my back hurt so bad. I ain't lying. I mean, that's just why I loved ushering, and I didn't want to stop doing that. Partially because I didn't trust everybody. You know, as an usher, you got to trust people, and you don't want to bounce people, right? Bouncing people is always bad as an usher, you know what I mean? Like, somebody goes to fall, somebody gets the hands laid on, they go to fall, and there's no usher behind them, so they, boom, they bounce. Praise the Lord. That's always, I took that stuff personally. I didn't want to do that. So, but I mean, I'm telling you, I started pastoring, and I could barely sit in a chair. Yeah, because my hips were so out of whack and stuff like that. I got to the place, my wife would tell you, that I could barely even bend over to tie my shoes. Praise the Lord. It's not like that now because the Lord, you know, the Lord's healed me. The Lord's good. And you know, but there was a time period I went through where it was like that. You know, and then I would have ushers. I remember ushers telling me back then, I served once this month. You mean you want me to serve both? Here we go. You want me to serve both Sunday and Wednesday? See, when I got called, one thing that the Holy Ghost, see, everything I've done right, it's only because the Holy Ghost. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. But I remember one time when I went up to Canada as an usher. I went up there, and Dr. Dufresne was up there. I love Dr. Dufresne. Amen. Dr. Dufresne, what an amazing man of God. But I just absolutely love Dr. Dufresne. I remember going up there, and I was like, I went up with Kirk, and he said, you know, we talked about, yeah, I said, if you guys need me, just call on me. But I remember the Holy Ghost putting something in my spirit, and that was that if I was an usher, that's what I was. Didn't matter if I was in this church. Didn't matter if I was in that church. That's why they always saw me ushering in Fredonia. That's why I would catch people up in Fredonia too, because if I was an usher, that's what I was called to, and there was a grace and anointing to do it. Praise the Lord. So if you're if you're good, or if your calling is to clean the floors, praise the Lord. That's what that's where you're at. And do it with joy, and do it excitedly, and be like, do it as unto the Lord, praise God. Because it's when you do those things that God promotes you, that he lifts you up. And see, there's nobody, I love the family churches, because we're not like a bunch of highly, I mean, some people are highly educated, but most of us aren't highly educated. I'm a high school dropout, glory to God, and they gave me a church anyways. But why? Because it's not proven by your ability to pass tests. Those kind of tests. Praise the Lord. And see, that's what matters is we are you willing to do whatever it takes? Because God, that's how God, again, it's scripture. We saw it there, right? Jesus said, if you want to be great, you got to become less. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One who, holding the mystery of faith, I want to continue on reading here. There's an important point in here. Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, but let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Let them first be tested. Praise the Lord. I love that. When I came across the scripture, when I was preparing this message, I don't ever remember the scripture before, but that really popped out at me. Let them first be tested. Listen, you ain't getting anywhere until you're tested. I don't care. Again, if you don't want anything to do, you have no aspirations of ministry, that's fine. What do you want in your life? What do you want God to do for you? What do you want? You want a new house? You want God to increase your business? You want God to, well, how are you going to serve? How are you going to serve God? Are you going to put down your CEO so you can your CEO title so you can scrub the floors, clean up puke or something like that? Are you going to lay down who you think you ought to be? Oh, I got this degree and that degree. It doesn't matter what degree you got. All that matters is how you serve. Jesus isn't up there saying, hey, I'm so proud of you got all these degrees. He's looking for people who want to serve him. He's looking at people that want to lay it, that will lay it all down. That it doesn't matter how much money they got in the bank. They can still wash the floors, or they can still shovel snow, or they can still catch people. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let them first be tested. You don't think you're going to be tested, and tested didn't come overnight. You don't get tested once. Testing is a period of time. When you're tested, you get tested to the point of where you're going to decide either I'm going forward or I'm getting off this train because I can't do it anymore. But see, this is the thing we know about God, that you can go to the other side because he who is in you is stronger. He's greater. The one you got on the inside of you can take you to that other side. So you press through it when it's hard. You press through it when you don't want to. You press through it when you're bored. You press through it when it hurts. You press through it because that's what God wants you to do. And when you press through it, then God exalts you. See, this is what everybody's looking for, exaltation of some sort. I mean, you could talk about exaltation in anything. They're looking for exaltation in some sort, somewhere. And Jesus said it's found in serving. Let me finish up here. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their households well, houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You want faith to get over stuff? You want faith to move mountains? You want that kind of faith? Praise the Lord. Serve well first. Hallelujah. Because those who served well as deacons obtained for themselves, those who washed the tables, those who did whatever they got to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to close with this, Galatians 6:9 in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap. We shall reap. Praise the Lord. It's going to happen. We shall reap if this is a big if. If we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Listen, we can stand because the Bible says we can stand. We can do it because the Bible says that we can do it. And when we serve with all our heart, when we serve our man of God, and I hope I brought that focus here tonight. Because you have to understand that there's a lot that this church and the family churches are called to. And the thing that gets us there is faithfulness. The thing that keeps us out is people's lack of willingness. It's their desire. It's their lack of desire. Stir yourself up in these things. Stir yourself up in the things of God. Stir yourself up in the direction of your church. Praise the Lord. See, here's the thing. The Bible says He gives seed to the sower. So when there's opportunity to sow, He says He's going to give seed to the sower. So instead of getting offended about sowing, you sow into it. Sow into it with everything you got. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes it costs everything. Sometimes the purpose in your heart, you have to sow everything you've got. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you got to do that. But if that's what the work of the Lord is, He's going to magnify. In due time, He will exalt you. In due time, He'll bring it to pass. Glory to God. And in the meantime, He'll sustain you. In the meantime, He'll get you through. You just keep going, doing what you know to do. You do it with the right attitude, right heart. You love your pastor. Praise the Lord. You love your church because God gave it to you. God gave it to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I don't even want to stop because it means so much, guys. It means so much. Praise the Lord.